This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من The topic that we're doing here is especially important at this time because, as you know, this past year and even recently, we've seen so much happening around the world. And we've also seen the horrific carnage, we've seen political unrest, we've seen all of this stuff happening in front of us and in front of our very eyes. And this story in Surah Al-Kahf is really timely because it talks about what we believe in and standing up for what we believe in and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us when we do that. And I don't want to take more of your time, so Sheikh Musa, inshallah, will take it away.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم اللهم علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you all for being here. How is everyone? Do you like the idea of just being here at this moment? Yeah, me too. You know, it is a not only a need, but there is a certain spiritual experience just coming to the masjid, even if nothing is going on. And that is part of the environment, part of the barakah, the angels that surround us, and what, you know, places like this represent. So I pray first and foremost that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us close to the masajid, ayna ma kun, wherever you and I may be, Allahumma ameen. I'm going to jump right into tonight's subject because I got a lot to cover. So the goal is to speak to you for about maybe half hour, and then for 15, 20 minutes, inshallah, you can ask whatever you want. Okay, and so I really encourage you, if you have questions regarding the topic or anything else, just ask, and we'll do our best to address them, inshallah. Does that sound good? Okay, yalla, bismillah. So we're talking about the young people of the cave. So, little bit of background, and this actually will take us into the first lesson. So my goal is to share with you a number of lessons from this whole story of Ashabul Kahf. We're not going to go through the story. We're not going to go through every ayat of the story. But what we will do is two things, inshallah. All of the lessons will either be a reminder for you personally as an individual, as a Muslim, regardless your age. And then some of the reminders are for young people. Okay? So you'll see both sides of it, inshallah. So Ashabul Kahf is a group of young men. Some narrations say that for the most part, and this is the most authentic opinion, is that they were Christians who followed the original teachings of Isa alayhi salam. Okay? And as time went on, one narration, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that when they exited this cave, the first thing that they wanted to do was to get something to eat. They were all hungry because if you've been sleeping for 309 years or so, you get a little hungry. So they came out, one amongst the group assigned another, go out there, grab us something, but be, you know, try to blend in, try to not stand out, let nobody recognize you, because it's safe to assume the little things that you won't read about the story, their clothing is really, really, really old-fashioned. Maybe the language has changed, the culture has changed, the currency has changed. So there's a very, very strong chance that something could happen and they're recognized, wait a minute, you guys are not from here. Some of the ulama say that that actually is where a lot of what has happened after the cave and that the lessons of this whole story, it started after that incident. So once they came out of the cave, then you start hearing about the lessons, why Allah put this in the surah, what you're supposed to learn from it, why we recite Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. We're going to touch on some of those things. Next thing, so the first lesson is this. You have young men who are not educated. They're just regular, dormant people living real mesquite. They have no wealth, they have no education, they have no knowledge, nothing. Yet Allah says this about them. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ. Okay, let's just pause there. أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ. Pause there. Allah talks to the Prophet ﷺ. Have you thought about when we entered or placed in this cave a group of companions, a group of young people? Remember what I told you. These young people, no education, no background, they didn't have status, nothing. This is the first lesson. You don't need to have anything to serve Allah's deen, except one thing, a sincere heart. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be popular and recognized. You have a sincere heart. You want to serve Allah's deen. You are very much qualified to participate and find your place where you belong in this deen and serve it. So I want you to keep this in mind, because like we said, they're not sahabas, they're not prophets. When we think about examples of people that should serve the deen, what do we usually think about? We usually think about somebody who is great, powerful, scholar, etc., right? Which is important, but it's not a criteria for everyone. Everybody has a place in this ummah, and this comes from another verse, the surah before it. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. You've heard this word before? Or this ayah before? Say to them that every single one of you should act based on your predisposition, what Allah gifted you with. You know, some students are really good at speaking, but they can never lead a salah, right? Their recitation is really weak. Some are the opposite. Masters at recitation can never give a khutbah, can never teach a class. Others can teach a class. Others are really good at writing. Others can research, and the list goes on. This example of Allah using day-to-day regular people, young people, young men, also reminds us these people in the cave are the same as the young people today. Think about it. They're exactly the same. And I find that truly, truly amazing. One of the things that I pointed out or I wrote here is you don't have to be what society deems to be important. Society is the one that labels that, you know, you have to have a certain level of qualification or you have to have a certain level of status and things like that. Allah's only requirement is that you have a sincere heart and just have faith in Him, period. So this is lesson number one. I'm just going to keep zooming through because there's quite a bit that I have here. Lesson number two. Allah continues. So, and tells us, so أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Allah then says that, have you seen that أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. Raqim is like a plaque. So it was said that they're in front of this cave that they stayed in. Their names or the number of people that can be in this cave was carved out somewhere on the outside. In other words, Allah allowed that to happen, or Allah placed this to happen so that they knew exactly where they needed to go, okay? There perhaps may have been many other places that they could have gone, but this is the one that Allah has chosen for them. Allah then says this, كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. There was another group, another creation that used the same word, ajaba, to describe the Qur'an. Does anybody know what that group is? Just shout it out. As a matter of fact, when the atmosphere is really like this quiet, it hints to the answer. The jinns. The jinns, the first ayah in Surah Al-Jinn, what did they say? They said, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ. What is the ayah, guys? استمعوا نفر من الجن فقالوا إن سمعنا قرآنا عجبا. When they heard Quran from the Prophet ﷺ, one jinn, he ran back to his group, said, "You guys gotta listen to what I just heard. Inna, we all just heard something. سمعنا قرآنا عجبا. We heard Quran and it's عجبا. You know what عجبا is? Ajaba comes from the word ajib, right? The plural, the root verb, ajaba, three letters. This is what it means. know, if you look at something and you can't describe it, but you're like, my God, you have to see this thing I just saw. I can't describe it to you. You have to see it for yourself. That's called ajaba. Something really unusual, strange. It stands out and you cannot find the words to describe. That's what jinn said about the Quran. And Allah uses the same word to describe that this story is so important and so profound that it is amongst our ayat that are ajaba, truly miraculous, you wouldn't be able to describe. Keep in mind, Christians and Jews, they already knew about this story before Muslims. And they have their own versions of this. So one narration states that some of the Jews came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, tell us about Ashabul Kahf, in order to prove that he was a prophet. So Allah tells us, and you'll see this coming up shortly, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Listen to this ayah. It's one of my favorite ayat of this story. Allah says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ. We already talked about fitya. If you were here for my khutbah, I explained what fitya is, but we'll do it very briefly, okay? First and foremost, it's time to go into the cave. So all that's been said and done, now they're going into this cave. Awa is that Allah had chosen a spot for them and created an atmosphere that felt like home. So, idh awa fityatu ila al-kahf. Second word, fitya, from fatan, which is what we said, is usually young people in particular that are very engrossed and attached and distracted to worldly things, that they forget their priorities, they forget their religion, they forget their parents, they forget the things that are important. Fityan or fata was also the insult that was used against prophets and messengers. Yusuf alayhi salam was used, was called this when he was in the palace. They referred to him with this term simply because, you know, you got to remember, he's kind of like a slave slash caretaker slash, and I hate to use these words, but sort of like subhuman almost. Like they didn't consider him complete. That's how they treated him. So they referred to him as this person who's lost his mind, he's just distracted and he's messed up, he's not thinking about anything. Ibrahim alayhi salam was called the exact same, was labeled the exact same thing. When they figured out, the people in the community saw that all these idols were destroyed, man stood up, or a group of them stood up and said, Fatan yuqalu lahu Ibrahim, in Surah Al-Anbiya. There's this kid, careless kid, not really, doesn't know what's important in life. People say, they didn't even say, Ismuhu Ibrahim. They said, Yuqalu lahu Ibrahim. Like, people just call him this thing called Ibrahim. So just like making reference to him was also degrading. So this ayah, why does Allah use this word? Is of course to bring honor to these young people, even if society and culture has written them off as useless. To Allah, these individuals and their story deserves to be part of the ayat of Allah and the Quran. The lesson behind that is really simple. It's one thing that I touched on the khutbah, so I won't spend like much time on it, but it's really simple. When you give young people a chance, and you do it sincerely to serve the deen, you will be shockingly surprised that more often they will excel. They will excel. The summer fest that we just had here, how many of you were here for that? Those of you who weren't, astaghfirullah, but you should have been here, right? It was fantastic. And young people, young adults in the community, they're the ones that put all of that together. It's incredible, sometimes as adults, we lose sight of that. And we will label or think that this culture of just, they love to waste time, have fun, and never take things seriously, sometimes overtakes us and clouds our judgment. So Allah reminds us, I'm going to choose fatan, and I'm going to put them in a cave. Let's go into the cave now. Let's go into the cave. The word that's used for the cave is kahf. Let me ask you, is a cave a comfortable place to relax? Would you get like some good sleep in a cave? Not really. It's dark, spooky, maybe there are insects and scorpions all over the place. That's where Allah put them. Why? Here's one lesson. Here's one reflection. Sometimes the environment, so this is especially for the young people, the environment may not be as comfortable and as convenient for you as you'd like it to be. Oh, I don't like to go to that masjid because everybody's so strict. Oh, I don't like to go to that community center because everybody bosses me around. Maybe it's not ideal. Maybe it's really tough and it's inconvenient. But you have no idea when you walk in there with faith and a good heart, how Allah will take what seems to be an uncomfortable place, a place that's more beautiful and more comfortable than your own home. That's what happens to places like this. If you get yourself attached to masajid and Islamic institutes or places where at the end of the day you're serving Allah's deen, one of the promises that you learn from this surah is Allah will take a place that looks like a dirty, abandoned cave and turn it to the most important, beloved, sacred place of your life. In a spiritual sense, of course. Now, do we have an example of this from the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, absolutely. Why did Allah send him on top of a mountain and then it was like a bit of like a crevice that's open, it looks like a cave, put him there before sending the angel Jibreel alayhi salam and give him the first revelation? Why not just be sitting at home under a nice beautiful tent where the sahabas are all surrounding you and the ayat are giving to you then? This is indirectly teaching us, don't judge the environment, just ensure that you have a sincere heart for the sake of Allah. You know, just a couple days ago, I met a student from the from Medina University who was here. So I asked him, how's it going? This is the first thing he said. He's like, man, the showers, it's really bad. And he said, the insects are always here. The cats are coming into my pillowcase and. Yeah, that's the price you pay to seek this knowledge. Allah will put you through a grind if you really want this deen. That's why the Salaf, they would say, when you're ready to serve or when you're ready to learn this deen, put on your metal shoes, right? Obviously, it's expression. Be ready for some pain and hardship. So they are in this dark, spooky cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that this cave now becomes the most comfortable, peaceful place in existence for them at that time. Here's the next part of the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal then says, فَقَالُوا, all these young people began to make dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, give all of us from your secret vault of mercy. This word, ladun, don't forget this word, because it's found in a few places in Quran, and this word, ladun, is one of the most beautiful words of the entire Quran. Like, talk about a three-letter word, and Quran has a lot of these, that really has a profound effect on your iman and encourages you in a way it's very difficult to describe. Ladun is in reference, or it means a secret vault or an area or a room where you keep your most valuable and prized possessions. You know, that's the place maybe in your home where you have like, you know, a secret lock. You know, you have a code, nobody can access it. You choose who can see what's there. That's what ladun is. Allah Azza wa Jal has a ladun that in it there is rahmah. Now, two types of rahmah then you're seeing. You have rahmah that is given to everyone, all of mankind. Then there's actually three. There's a second type of rahmah that is given only to the believers. The third type of rahmah is ladun, is that amongst the believers, there are those superstars. It's them. Let me give you a real quick example. Somebody who prays and does all the basics, right? Do all the basics of the religion. But amongst them, there's that one or two that are waking up for tahajjud every night, that are fasting every other day. They're doing all of these extra deeds that they don't necessarily have to do, but they're attached. They want and they're only thinking about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah guarantees for them that He will allow access to the special vault of mercy that is prepared and reserved. The ulama, they say some interesting things about this vault. Some of the scholars, they say that in this vault there is no hisab. In other words, this access to the special mercy of Allah is Allah will not judge you, will enter you in Jannah immediately, without judgment, without any process. So other scholars say that it's access to Jannatul Firdaus. So this individual is not going to any other level of Jannah, straight to the highest level, Al-Firdaus. Another opinion states that this vault will give you access to upgrade your family members that are in other parts of Jannah, and you want them to come to Al-Firdaus, Al-A'la, which is pretty awesome. It's like you have hookups with Allah, right? Oh Allah, my mom, my dad, or my brother, my sister, my wife, or my husband, or whatever, they're in the third level of Jannah. I'm in the sixth and the seventh, or Al-Firdaus. Oh Allah, can you reunite, bring them, let them be with me. This could also be from Ladun Karahma. Now, here's the lesson for Ashabul Kahf. Think of this example. You have a young student, a teenager, right? You buy him a car. Okay, you as a parent, you purchase a car. And you go shopping now. Say, look, let's go see what kind of car you like. Poor, you know, kid starts looking at all the Lexuses and the BMWs and the Ferraris, and he's like, okay, Dad, I want that Ferrari over there. What's your immediate reaction? This is his first car ever. He's 16 years old. He just got his license, and he's like, Dad, I don't want to drive. I mean, I'll get back pain if I drive anything lower than a Ferrari, so this is what I want. What would you say to this? You'll say to him, you're spoiled. Like, don't be so greedy. These young people entered the cave, and the first thing they asked for was not Allah's rahmah, they asked for ladun rahmah. It's the complete opposite. Scholars took from this, it's one thing in the dunya life, you go through a slow, gradual process and earn. Not with Allah. You have a sincere heart, you can have access to everything from Allah. Which I think is really, really, truly beautiful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is just out of His love and mercy. That because you are young, and you're alone, and you're being persecuted, so it's scary for you, but you still have faith, you still held on, you are special. So if you ask me for the fruits without planting anything in the ground, I will give it to you. So, how do we learn? It sounds beautiful, okay, great lesson. So what does that mean now for young people? It means that the scholars, they say that don't hold back from the blessings and the rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him for whatever you want. You know, I meet students all the time. They say, hey, Sheikh, I don't want to drive like a brand new car, you know. My car, you know, the duct tape is holding up the bumper really well, so inshallah khair, you know. I don't need a windshield. I can still see where, like, you know, and they're like, you know, plus on top of that, I don't want to be attached to this dunya. It's a very, very strange outlook on things. Because Allah tells us He wants you to ask, and in the famous hadith of Abi Huraira, radiallahu anh, I've mentioned this a lot, when Prophet ﷺ says, when you ask for Jannah, don't just ask for Jannah, but ask for Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allah loves to give. So ask, so and He shall give. Right? So this is another lesson. Let's continue. Next lesson. Okay? Next lesson. So, fast forward now. They are in the cave, and now there's a sun. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ. And then it continues with the left and so on. There's the sun. The cave is situated in such a way that the sun will pierce itself directly and illuminate the entire cave. So it's basically sleeping with all the lights on in the bedroom, right? In your room. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. So it will be an added layer of hardship for them. Here's again. Really beautiful. Allah goes into great detail. It's one of the longest ayat in the entire surah, that how He allowed the sun to now shift in a way that it'll strike the cave and it'll pierce, it will illuminate, but it won't go directly on their faces. And then at some point during the day, Allah will shift it then to the left, then shift it back to the right. The same ayah also says, you know, when you're sleeping on one side, eventually after some time, few minutes, some for a few hours, what do you have to do? You have to turn over now to the other side. Allah says in the same ayah, and we turn them to the left, and we turn them to the right. What does all of that mean for you and I? Listen to this. One of the reasons why we are taught to recite this surah on Fridays is, of course, as you know, Friday is a day, dua is emphasized, blessing and barakah is given, right? It's a more blessed, it is the most blessed day of the entire week. You recite this surah on Friday. One of the reasons why is Allah will, depending on our sincerity, cause, instead of us trying to find ways to adjust and live and to facilitate our faith in this world, Allah will cause the planet to serve you instead. What I mean by that is this. This sun that's piercing into the cave, it's really inconvenient. But it's not like these young men were in there and just said, you know what, man, we got to go find another cave. They, instead, because of their faith, the scholars, they said, Allah took the sun, shifted it, that it won't pierce on their faces, on their bodies. So in essence, it's as if Allah caused now the sun to submit and serve them. Instead of the other way around, you're serving the creator of the sun. Now the sun is like, okay, whatever Allah tells me to do with you guys, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's absolutely remarkable. The lesson behind this is very simple. You know, the environment that we live in, it seems like everything is against us. All the numbers, the money, the power, the political strength, everything, resources, you name it, unity, everything seems to be so powerful and overwhelming, and it's against us. But still, these individuals in the cave, because of their faith, Allah took what was impossible and made it possible. And I believe, and Allah knows best, that is one of the greatest wisdoms why, despite how difficult it is out there, holding on to our faith now is more important than ever. That perhaps maybe as a result of our persistence and determination to still hold on, Allah makes the entire world and everything around it see now and now start to be useful and helpful to us instead of the other way around. So the reason why I bring this up is that for us not to take these lessons and these signs for granted. One of the biggest mistakes that Muslims make when they read Surah Al-Kahf is when you come across ayat like this, you're like, oh, okay, wow, sun this, sun that, and they move on to the next verse. Every single ayah, every single verse has something that you can connect to, has something that you can relate to. Next lesson. I'm just going to go back to verse number 11. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So Allah struck their ears and basically plugged their ears عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ for many, many years. سِنِينَ عَدَدًا, for many, many years. What's this all about? So this is actually explained in other surahs as well. Some of the scholars, they say this plugging that happened is a plugging from something called waqara. Waqara is like something that's dirty. It's useless. It's filthy. You don't want it. You don't want it near you. The lesson behind this is that these young men, for them to find the fruits and purpose of being in this cave, is that they had to sift out and plug their ears from any useless information and useless things out there. And as you and I know, there's a lot of things that we hear and see that are very distracting to our deen, right? You'll be praying, lots of things will come to mind. You'll be anywhere, you'll hear and see a whole ton of things. Why does Allah tell us that He struck their ears when they were in this cave? This is the only way that you can find sweetness in the deen. the more you eliminate, extinguish, and abstain from things in life that are of no use to you, that's when and that's how you start to taste and find value and sweetness into this deen. Scholars, they tell us, this is one way you can test if your faith and your iman is on the right track, is how you feel, whether it's in salah or doing any act of worship, any ritual. How do you feel after that? So if the feeling is like, oh, alhamdulillah, I just finished Surah Al-Kahf. You want to go grab a burger after Jumu'ah? If that's the only thing that's on your mind, it's a sign that, okay, there's something blocking the barakah and the lesson and the thirst to feed your iman. It's not being fed properly. There's a spiritual blockage somewhere. Another ayah that I like to use is this. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah tells us that for those, do not forget Allah, because Allah fa'ansahum anfusahum ulaika humul fasiqun. Allah says, don't forget Allah. For the ones who forget Allah, Allah will cause them to forget themselves. Ulaika humul fasiqun. These are the people that are inherently corrupt. What does all of this mean when you forget Allah? It means that you're so distracted and lost in the world that you're not seeing and appreciating Allah's reminders when they're right there in front of you. You might only appreciate them when you're in a masjid, but not when you're outside. You can only appreciate them when you're amongst other Muslims, but not when you're away from them. All of this is captured in فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So for the young students here, one thing, and I think I'm going to take a chance and speak on behalf of all the parents. Right? When your parents tell you, look, okay, shut off the TV, okay, get off your phone now. You've been on it for too long. Right? Or even little kids, you know, okay, enough of the video games now. Go find something, go read, go do something. All of that are training tools so that you start to develop a sense of purpose. You start to understand why you're here and what you can do, not just for yourself and your family, but for the deen as well. The Sahaba's one of the strongest qualities they had is that every single night when they go to bed, there are several stories of them just thinking about what else can I do? What's the next thing that I can do to serve the deen? So that's a mindset all of us are capable of. All of us can do. And if you're doing it already, those are things that just continue to improve and get stronger and become more reaffirmed. Let's go on to the next lesson. The next lesson is in verse number 12. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, then we raise them so we may show which of these two groups would make a better estimation of length of their stay. So here's what happened. In the cave, there was a split. Group A and group B. It seems as though that prior to this, these ayat are hinting that there was an argument or something that happened amongst them. And the argument was, how long were we here? So eventually when they woke up, after 300 plus years, they started, no, how long, 300, how long, 100 years, 75, 1,000, and they couldn't agree. So there was like this split amongst them, which is very typical when young people in particular talk about anything, right? Who's the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan, right? So it's very typical that that will happen. It's the same thing. Now, why does Allah highlight that for you and I? There's going to be conflict. Young people in particular, they're going to argue. They're going to lose their temper. They're going to get frustrated. All of it is going to happen. This part of the story really itches me the wrong way. We all know that, let's just say, you know, we're at a lecture event or something, right? There's a group of students in the corner, they're on the phone or just talking. Do you ever see a lot of times how some Muslims will correct young people? Well, what do you think? You're in a farm? What are you doing? That kind of talk, that kind of nasiha. Remember, you're trying to get them to do the right thing. What's wrong with you? Are you guys crazy? You think this is a gym or a basketball game right now? We're going to get ready for salah. And the list goes on. You hear it, I hear it all the time. That's really, really unnecessary. It's really unnecessary. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights for here that despite that these two had split, there isn't a single reference of any animosity or hatred or any of that that they said or uttered to one another. There were no phrases, nobody insulted or put down the other because they had a different opinion than the other. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. We can learn a lot. You don't have to be a young adult to learn from Ashabul Kahf. You can take a lot from every single ayah. So these are just some of the things that I wanted to highlight, sort of tickle your appetite for the story, especially for those of you that have never studied the story. This is just something for you to have a glimpse that the surah sounds very simple. It's talking about sun, it's talking about the hunger, it's talking about shade, it's talking about food, it's talking about young people, it's talking about clothing, and really simple day-to-day things. But Allah caused that this is the surah that we should repeat once a week. For that one very reason. The closer you attach yourself to Surah Al-Kahf and start to understand what it represents, why it exists and its lessons, Allah will cause the world to serve you instead of you figuring out to find your place. Everything around you will just be of benefit to you. When you need that shade the most, when you need that security the most, when you need that peace the most, when you need that help the most, it will come from places you would have never thought twice that that's where it's coming from. And we're seeing that today. You see the conflict in Palestine? The flip side of it is, subhanAllah, I meet a lot of them, of non-Muslims, getting curious. It goes back to the same things. Whenever there's like a major incident that affects the ummah, it starts to put the deen, the Quran, and Muslims in the forefront, headline news, people seeing day after day. The haters will always be there. They never went away. They were there during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They're still here. But amongst them, Allah will cause that one person or that one group of people to show interest. Some may accept Islam, some may not. But you know what will happen? Is that the word of Allah and the Muslims and who they are and what we represent will continue to flourish, inshaAllah ta'ala. And I think that that is truly remarkable. Hold on to our faith. Never let go regardless of the circumstance. That is the ultimate lesson of Ashabul Kahf. Hold on. If you are in a cave alone, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how difficult your environment is, hold on. Number two, these young men had nothing. So if you have nothing, you don't know how to recite properly, you can't lead a salah, you can't do a khutbah, you can't maybe teach a class, but Allah blessed you that you know how to tailor outfits so you can make some really beautiful designs. Allah gifted you that you're really good with wisdom and insight. You give great advice. Allah gifted you that when you open a book, you can find the littlest things that people will lose track of or never find. Research. Allah gave you certain skills. Hold on to those skills. And that's also one of the most important lessons we get from this story. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to increase us. And may Allah azza wa jalla keep us close to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to continue to learn and benefit from the surah. It is going to be, inshallah, in a few minutes, Salatul Maghrib. So obviously after Maghrib, it's your time, whether you do it today or tomorrow, to recite the surah. Please, please take it upon yourself to recite it. If you haven't memorized Surat Al-Kahf, just read it every week, inshallah, and you will. Scholars, they say it takes about 30 to 60 times for a person to recite a surah and never reviewing it, never sitting and going through each ayah one by one and repeating it over and over. You don't do that, let's say you don't have the time, but just the fact that you're in a routine of once a week reading it, after about 30 times or so, don't be surprised that the entire surah is memorized. I know it's the blessing of repetition, okay? So if you haven't, inshallah, I pray that Allah gives you this surah and preserve it in your hearts. And also, if your desire is to go further, may Allah give it to you, inshallah. Ta'ala wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay.
We do have a few minutes, so inshallah we'll take the time to, you know, probe and to ask some questions. So first I'll give you the opportunity to do so, even among the sisters or the brothers, if you have any questions. Yep, we have a sister there.
You had mentioned that if you have a sincere heart, you can have access to anything and everything. So my question is, when we make du'as, when
Okay, so you want to ask Allah, and we mentioned this concept of ladunka rahma, right? That you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best and the most, have access to the special vault of His mercy and His blessings. How do we do that, but at the same time abstain or protect ourselves from feeling ungrateful or asking for too much because many around the world have nothing? So how do we balance the two? The scholars have actually talked about this forever, really. So some of the things that they advise us is, number one, you are accountable for yourself first and foremost. Ask. Allah didn't put a stipulation and say, okay, ask, but only during these times, this time of the day, or during these circumstances. Ask, and just keep on asking. One of the ways, so that's the first thing. You have every right to ask for whatever you want at any time from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, remember that Allah chooses when and how to give. So you can ask, that's one thing, but it certainly doesn't mean that you're going to receive that, because Allah will decide, okay, this is not the right time for you to receive this. So you may have thought to yourself, well, I can ask, what if others will think that I'm ungrateful? What if I'm labeled that I'm asking for too much? Listen, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's territory. He will decide what to give you, when to give you, and how much of it, and if it's good for you or not. Third thing that scholars, they say, is that one of the signs of dua being accepted is that you monitor your heart, that you're not ungrateful for what you already have. So when you're asking, but your heart is filled with gratitude, but you're just asking Allah, and you want more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged. Ask Allah, famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, ask Allah even if it's for a shoelace. Right? So ask Allah for anything and everything. And part of you being in a situation or in a state where you have the highest chances of your du'as being accepted is that you're asking with so much gratitude of everything you do have in life. So if this is a struggle, the last thing I'll say is that on the one hand, if you have this problem of just being grateful in general, that's a separate thing from du'a. Okay? And that's something that, you know, it would be another topic, but that's something that is addressed and it's looked at and it's worked on differently. But it's so beautiful that du'a, even if you feel that you're truly ungrateful, you make du'a to bless you with gratitude and being grateful. So you still have to go back to du'a to even repair that. So inshallah, my best advice to you is just to continue to ask. Allah will decide what is best for you anyway. Okay? Great question. Thank you. Yeah, وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, okay. Say the last part there.
Yeah, وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ.
Is this the part where when they stood their ground? Okay, so that will go back. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ is the part where they stood their ground. So very quickly, رَبَطَ means to wrap, tie down, and secure. Allah gifted them with this ability to do so, to be very firm in their deen because of the previous ayah. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ because they still had faith in Allah. I think that is one of the most important verses to be reminded of every single day in 2024 is that no matter how impossible it seems to hold on to your faith, and secondly, you're holding on, but you don't see the fruits of it, just the fact that you still have that faith, Allah says, don't worry. That firmness and that stability and that increase and all of those things that we need to survive, Allah will gift that to you. But the starting for you to qualify and receive that firmness is just have faith. Nahum amanu, hold on to iman, no matter how little it is. Oh, we're still... Sorry, brothers. Sadaqallahu al-Azim for you guys, okay?
We'll go with AIDS first. Okay, sure. I know the time is not, it's very limited. Like you say, all you have to do is have sincerity. But to attain the level of sincerity is extremely difficult. I come every 5 times, every day. It's extremely difficult. Allah says in the Quran, and only those who about knowledge will fear Allah. So to attain level of sincerity is extremely, extremely difficult.
Well, I would politely disagree simply because of this, okay? If you're talking about attaining a level of sincerity, like scholars and prophets and messengers, that's a whole different level. Perhaps that is impossible for most of us. But just remember this one hadith, okay? It puts it into perspective. And you know what, before I give you the hadith, the famous scholar Al-Imam Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, right? He had attained the level of Bukhari and above in terms of his knowledge, specifically with hadith. He once said, I've been battling with my sincerity for 25 years and I still haven't grasped it. I still haven't perfected it. 25 years. We're talking about a great, great scholar. So my advice to you is very simple. Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mal'una, mal'unu ma fiha, illa dhikrullah wa ma walahu wa 'aliman aw muta'allima." This entire dunya is cursed, everything in it is cursed, except three things. Number one, dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Number two, the thing that helps you to remember Allah, wa ma walahu. And number three, 'aliman aw muta'allima. And this comes to your question. The scholar or the student of knowledge. Most of us will never be scholars. All of us are students of knowledge. So the fact that you're here sitting and just listening to a reminder and coming to the masjid on a regular basis, but maybe in getting engrossed into like an intense study of a subject is perhaps something that's difficult for you or for someone else. To Allah, that is a sign of sincerity. May not feel like the sincerity of Imam Az-Zuhri or anybody else, but this hadith tells you just the fact that you're a student, willing to learn and willing to better yourself, you are exempted from all the awful things and the curses of this world. Scholars, they say that is a sign of acceptance, and that is certainly a sign that sincerity is there, and inshallah is accepted. So I would just say to you, just keep with the process and keep working, inshallah. Wa'alaikum. What are some of the benefits of reciting Surah Al-Kahf? We should all know this. So can I get your help with that? What's some of the benefits of reciting to Surah Al-Kahf? You will be saved from the Dajjal. So great, that's the perfect one to begin with, okay? You will be protected from the Dajjal. Anything else? Yes, Allah will bless you with Nur and Barakah from one Jum'ah to another. Sisters, what's another one? Okay. Allah Azza wa Jal, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us a very long hadith with several benefits of it. But another one is that your minor sins are forgiven from one Jum'ah to another. Okay. And Surah Al-Kahf is also, when it's recited during the timing of Jum'ah day, so from after Maghrib tonight until Maghrib time tomorrow, Surah Al-Jum'ah is when it's recited, when it's done properly and it's done sincerely, that inshallah ta'ala, Jum'ahs are accepted. Your Jum'ah, that week that you recite, that Friday, is accepted from Allah. So there's tons of benefits. All of the animals and insects, all of the creatures on the planet will make dua of istighfar and forgiveness for you. Another important blessing for reciting Surah Al-Kahf. The scholars also say it is makruh, disliked for you to recite any other surah on Jumu'ah day. So what I like to do is I like to review like a few surahs, but when it comes to Jumu'ah day, start with a Surah Al-Kahf and focus on that surah first. Put aside the rest of the Quran and do that. When they say that it's disliked to do that, what they're saying to you is that if you want more blessing and reward, Surah Al-Kahf takes priority and the time and place for that is on Jumu'ah. So inshallah ta'ala, when you follow that same method that Allah has outlined for us, the result is always going to be an acceptance inshallah and just coming closer to Him.
We will end here. We have a little bit more for the event. So
okay.
I wanted to use that as a segue to say that alhamdulillah, we have over 70 courses, full courses. When I talk about a course, it's about 10 sessions or more. Over an hour and a half on Islamic subjects. And Sheikh Muslim has actually done, I believe, two courses or two semesters on Suratul Kahf.
Yes.
And this is actually available on our education portal or on our YouTube channel. Totally free on YouTube. If you want to, you know, study it as a student, you can register as a student on our education portal. You can just go islam.ca/education and you will see, you know, the list of courses that we have, alhamdulillah. So I want to encourage you to either check it out on YouTube or on our LMS portal, and you will see the entire Suratul Kahf explained by Sheikh Muslim. And we also have some really interesting courses by other scholars, Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Quick, Sheikh Abdul Hamid, Sheikh Ahmed Kuti. So jazakumullah khair. The next session we will be having here is on Wednesday, August the 21st. We will advertise the topic, but inshallah it will be interesting and it will also be done by Sheikh Muslim. Jazakumullah khair, thank you all for coming. After Salat al Maghrib, there is some tea. I don't know if we have chai, but I know we have tea.
السلام عليكم
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام.